This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This is your dream. My kind splayed before you, powerless and afraid. All the X-Men have done is use their awesome power to protect a world that hates and fears them. Behold their reward. What must we do to be good enough? Is this the high road's destination? If so, I say, as I have said too many times before, never again.
So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meet to Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so this is an episode that we have been looking forward to for a long time. We are doing the character study of Magneto through all 5 seasons of this podcast. We have been talking about Magneto through various discussions, drafts, different character studies, and his impact. And we talked about him so much that I thought we did a character study on Magneto, but we have not. So this is the deep dive on it. We're going to touch on his backstory, his upbringing, villainy, backslide into villainy, becoming a hero, ultimately asking the question, is Magneto right? Discussing his philosophy, relatability, and also popularity. Just some quick housekeeping before we jump into the episode. Next week, we will be touching on having our Thanksgiving special. We will be touching on things we are ungrateful for in nerddom. Also, we have merch. There's a link in the description below. Please buy it. We both have to pay for ceremonies, and we're struggling right now. But this is going to be a very serious episode. We're going to be touching on real life events in the past, obviously, with Magneto's backstory, if you know it, how it correlates to real life events currently, also in the past, and then possibly the future and other references to different mediums as well. So buckle up and prepare yourself. We just wanted to give you that trigger warning. Hit us with the legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so subject for today, we are covering Magneto, also known by Eric Lynchar. Is that how you say it?
Eric Lynchar.
Lynchar, Max Eisenhart.
Max Eisenhart.
Magneto, leader of Brotherhood of Mutants, and sometimes the X-Men and also other affiliations, but we will get into that. Meech, kick us off.
So as I said, we're talking about Magneto. You can tell, like, we talk about him so much. Like, he's, again, like, one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm going to be painting him in such, well, even though he has a ton of dark spots, I'm going to be painting him in a positive light. I'm not going to lie to you. His story is so interesting, and just like from the very beginning, it's like, even though the comics, like when he first debuted, he was just your standard baton twirling, mustache twirling supervillain, take over the world, destroy. It's only with like later interpretations, especially during the Chris Claremont run of the X-Men, that Magneto really gained like his true origins, his stride, and becomes the much more gray character that you recognize him as today. So it all begins where all terrible tragedies begin, World War II. So Max Eisenhart, aka Magneto, was born in the 20s. He's German and Jewish. So, and as I said, it's World War II. So as a child, he was captured and he was put into the concentration camps all the way back in Poland. And again, like, this is one of the heavier parts where it's like he's seen like so many people die, so many people executed, like his whole family was killed in front of him. And essentially, like, this is kind of like the moment his powers first emerge, which, if you don't know, his powers is over electromagnetism.
Mm-hmm.
So he was captured. He was actually put in Auschwitz, and while in concentration camp in Auschwitz, he fell in love with a girl named Magda. They escaped during a revolt, and then they had a different. They changed their names. They had a daughter together. And then, unfortunately, some things happened to where he ended up losing his parents. Lost his family. And from there, like, he unleashed his powers truly for the first time as an adult, where in which he murdered an entire mob of people. Why were they mobbing after him? Because he was a mutant. Because of the fact that he had his powers and he accidentally used it one time. It's from there that he ended up meeting Charles Xavier, like, sometime later. And they formed a friendship. They confided, like, hey, they're both mutants. But, of course, like, thanks to Magneto's prior experience, he has a much more, I guess you could say, he has a much different outlook on humanity than Charles Xavier has.
More cynical, you would probably say.
Very, very cynical. But he also has, like, more pride in himself as a mutant. So he has pride as a mutant, a little contempt for humanity. I mean, he did experience the worst thing you could possibly have in humanity besides
slavery. He witnessed
slavery.
Humans being horrible to humans just, you know, because of, you know, differences in terms of race and religion, in a sense. And then, as you mentioned, him awakening his powers, that becomes like now he's another label that he has on him for people to hate him, which builds into that cynicism along with losing his family and his newfound family.
Yeah. And also, again, like, he had to hide who he truly was for the longest time just to be able to survive, only for his identity to get out. And you see the consequences get reaped because of it. And it's like, you know what? Screw this. And you get and this is when he becomes the villain, Magneto. So from there, this is when, you know, he collides with the X-Men. As I said, we're going over the comic books version. The movie version is pretty good, but it kind of distills a lot of it. So you don't really get to see too much. But, like, you know, he manages to, you know, barrage the U.S. military. He fights the X-Men on numerous occasions. He created an asteroid called Asteroid M in space, which is a space station, mind you. He managed to find out, he creates the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which is kind of crazy that he calls it Evil Mutants. That's the early writing of
retcon.
yeah, before it just became Brotherhood of Mutants. So, you know, you get people like Mystique, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Sabretooth, Toad, all of them, like, joining the Brotherhood. And they, you know, they're going crazy. You know, they do all acts of terrorism. People are getting killed, slaughtered left and right. You know, it's just your standard villain affair. But you start to see, especially during the Claremont run, which again is the turning point where you start to see more of the heroic or more, I guess, the more relatable aspects of Magneto. Like,
what year was that? Around what year?
The Claremont runs is around like 82.
Okay.
So first steps, like, is this story called God Loves, Man Kills, in which you have William Stryker, a reverend. I'm telling you, hey, you'll start feeling things are starting to sound very familiar. A very outspoken Southern.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Baptist
televangelist.
Televangelist who declare that mutants are an affront to God himself, and because of that, he employs this group called the Reavers, which their whole thing is go out, capture mutants, kill them, do whatever. It is very much a story about how evil men can be, and just how evil men can be. But the main crux of the story is the fact that this is perhaps the first time that the X-Men decided to team up with Magneto just to take out this one man or this entire group of the Reavers. Because goodness gracious. And this is like, this is like an amazing story. Like, again, this is in 82. This was by Claremont. This is like, and just a little bit of backstory about this. This was created at the height of televangelism. And this is like one of the few times like the whole theme of discrimination, anti-Semitism is just right on stage. Like there's a whole panel where like William Stryker like points at Nightcrawler and says, is that thing even human? You call this human. Think about it. A person of God saying, like, that's not human. We need to kill it.
And Nightcrawler, I don't know if back then he was, but is Nightcrawler like the most devout of all the X-Men?
Yes, he still is the most devout. He's the most Christian of them all.
Uh-huh.
And he's crazy.
And I don't know if you touched on the beginning of how this even opens up the God loves.
Oh, no, I didn't, because it is very crazy where it just starts off with just children getting caught and murdered by the Reavers, a.k.a. the Purifiers, and then it's Magneto who finds the children and then lays them to rest. And, of course, as I said, these people were hired out and created by William Stryker. So again, that's like your first instance of like, oh snap, you're starting to see the humanity in, the humanity in Magneto. It's like, hey, he found the bodies, he laid them to rest, he finds and tries to protect other children, and the X-Men go and team up with Magneto to try to take him down.
And I think what's also interesting in this story, not to go full in detail if people obviously want to read it, but by the end of the book, Magneto's point is so hammered home that even Charles Xavier, the guy who is like morally opposed to Magneto, is almost tempted to join him or at least see his side of things in terms of like Magneto is able to point and see like, hey, this dude can literally murder and slaughter our people. And the public at large agrees with him. That shows you how much they're scared of us. And for that to hit Charles with, you know, everything that happens within that storyline is so crazy. And just like Magneto, what is so, and we'll touch on more of it, obviously, because we had a lot to get into with Magneto, but he sees that pain in the way that he tries to work through it. A lot of us would say, you know, disagree with it, but that's just how he sees it. And he's so, again, so cynical. He's seen the worst of humanity in one of its worst times, and it's just like how to process that. And he's a leader, so he has to now protect the people while also having the power to do it, which a lot of people don't have, which is the difference.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So now let's keep on going to like his turn into heroism. So actually, one of the first few times he you see his change in character is like he's fighting the X-Men as usual, again, Claremont run, and he ends up fighting and almost kills Kitty Pryde, Shadow Cat. And here's a bit of news that that I did not know about her until like I read that story, is that Kitty Pryde's also Jewish.
Ooh.
So to see like Magneto striking an teenage child, a Jewish teenage child, a Jewish mutant teenage child. She's literally the embodiment of everything he's trying to fight for. And he's like going out in anger. And he's like, oh, I might have gone off the deep end a little. So he leaves. And this is where like Xavier is like, okay, maybe there's hope for him after all. And also then at that point, he discovers Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are his children. Unfortunately, this gets retconned later to where they're not his biological children. I do not care for that at all.
Multiple retcons, but
yeah. This is like hundreds of retcons later. But as of now, until we talk about it, they're his kids. All right. And then around this time is when the Secret Wars event happens. And everyone knows the Secret Wars event, you know, where Spider-Man gets the black suit and everything. But this whole story of is like, hey, the Beyonder wants a battle between good and evil. So he has all the heroes spawn in one side, all the villains spawn on another side. So you on the villain side, you have people like Galactus, Doctor Doom, Ultron, etc. And then on the hero side, you know, you had your Spider-Man, you had the Fantastic Four, you had, and you have the X-Men. But curiously enough, who also is on the side of the X-Men, who also gets teleported by the Beyonder, is Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the good guy side. And of course, yeah, which says a lot, that a cosmic being says, like, okay, the ideologies of Magneto and the X-Men, like, their alignment is close enough to where he puts them on the same side. And he really doesn't do too much of note. It's just like, hey, like he just actually just goes off on his own because the X-Men just reject him outright. Cause like, why are you here?
Uh-huh.
But it's still just a testament to like his characters. Like, hey, somebody sees him as a good guy.
Except a cosmic being.
Yes. A cosmic being says like, oh yeah, nah, this guy is good. But yeah, so of course, like, yeah, see, I'm not going to get into that story because not really too much happens.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially what happens at the end of it is like he gets transported back after like numerous different other stories. There's a story where in which Professor X, basically he dies in air quotes because nobody truly stays dead in comics. And also, he wasn't dead in the first place. He was just very injured. But he actually acts as Magneto to lead the X-Men.
Which parallels 97, what we saw.
Yes, this is basically like the crux of X-Men 97 and just that series. So if you've seen that, you basically seen what happens afterwards. So he joins the X-Men. Of course, they are wary of him, but he like decides to prove himself time and time again, specifically with the trial of Magneto, where in which he turns himself over to the government. He stands trial for all the war crimes he's committed, but he manages to be resolute and say like, hey, I believe in Charles Xavier and his vision. Just let me be, and as the brilliant quote in that series says, do not make me let you down. Powerful.
I love it.
Yep. So yeah. And then of course, this is also when Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver decide to turn around too. and treat him as the father. So yeah, at this point, he's the leader of the X-Men. He's leading. He's good. But unfortunately, and he's like leading this team called the New Mutants. Unfortunately, this is where he slowly starts backsliding into villainy, essentially because of the X-Men.
Interesting. Nothing better that we would like to see than a rise before the fall.
Yeah, yeah. So why are we talking about his...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Backslide? Well, it's because of the fact that throughout this entire time that he's been leading the X-Men, right? Many of the mutants don't trust him. Got the new mutants who did not trust him. Folks like Cyclops and Wolverine, they hate his guts.
Yep. Makes
sense. They just nearly tolerate him. And then there's this incident called Inferno. Inferno is basically where Madeline Pryor, the clone of Jean Grey, that's a can of worms in of itself. But she goes crazy, becomes Goblin Queen, unleashes all demons on Earth. Yes, you saw it in X-Men 97 for that one episode. Does not end as quickly as it did in that one episode, but yeah, so essentially like Magneto's like he was colluding with the Hellfire Club with Sebastian Shaw trying to like oust him, and essentially the New Mutants, like, they saw all that happen. They like, nah, he has to be playing us. And basically Magneto was trying to unite all the mutants. He was trying to get the Hellfire Club to join up with the team and to like win them over. He's like, yeah, no, my whole alliance with the X-Men, it's a farce for my long-term scene to take over the world. He was just trying to do that in order to get them to agree with him.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, the New Mutants just do not know his motivation. So they just heard that he's betraying them. That's all he heard. So he's like, you know what? Screw you, Magneto. And you are officially public enemy number one again. And it's from there that he's like, you know what? Screw this. Because they oust him at that point. And of course, Xavier comes back.
This is a good point, because when I was doing the research for him, I saw that he led another group. So who are the Acolytes?
So the Acolytes are just like a bunch of different mutants. They're stationed on Asteroid M, a.k.a. the orbital base in the sky, in space. And essentially, they just worship Magneto, worship him, worship like his ideology. And they just swear pure allegiance to him.
So is that early in his creation or later on?
That's early-ish, like they're early-ish, but you really don't see too much of them until the 90s.
Okay.
Where, but I do have to touch upon the Acts of Vengeance event, because
yes,
that is an event of events. All right. What's Acts of Vengeance? Acts of Vengeance was a Marvel event wherein which the villains, they all got together and they're like, know what? I'm tired of getting beaten by the same heroes. Hey, let's trade. All right. So you had folks like Juggernaut fighting the Thing, etc. And then Magneto went and fought Spider-Man.
Ooh, interesting.
Unfortunately for Magneto, this was the time when Spider-Man got the cosmic powers of Captain Universe.
Oh, God.
So he literally was. Spider-Man literally was a god.
Oh, boy.
This was the worst time for Magneto to fight.
Yes.
But here's the main reason I'm talking about this event, because he was on the same team as a certain character named Red Skull.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes. And if you know, Red Skull is 100% a Nazi.
Yeah.
He openly worked with Adolf Hitler. And Magneto, for the time, like, with his alliance, thought he was just somebody pretending to be Red Skull. Because, you know, Red Skull's based in old time with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he found out it was the actual OG, this is perhaps one of my favorite comics of all time, and it's a Captain America comic where Magneto put belt to behind on Red Skull, like, beat him so bad, and he trapped him in a tomb.
Jeez.
And, like, closed off the door and left Red Skull to die.
I love it.
And we're just like, yeah.
And this was still considered, like, villainous?
This was during his villainous era when he was fighting against Spider-Man. Oh, yes, he was a villain.
Okay, so I guess that kind of, again, shows that Magneto, instead of being, like you said, initially the mustache twirling, he's like a complex character where it's like, there's bad or villain, and then there's monsters. And it's like he was in the presence of a monster and decided to act revenge because, you know, acts of vengeance, because this is like one of the people that killed his family again, you know,
mm-hmm.
indirectly responsible. So,
yep. And then, of course, at this point, there's like an adventure in the Savage Land where essentially he had to fight somebody who was appropriating his powers. But like, he's like, nah, we shutting that all the way down. And essentially this is a point where he kind of renounces his previous efforts to be a hero and firmly cements himself back as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like he renounces that completely. And this is when we talk about the acolytes and Asteroid M,
mm-hmm.
where this man decides to say, you know what, UN, screw y'all, screw the world. And he fights all the X-Men. And this is when...
Also similar to 97, except they just kind of switched. Yep. They switched to Doctor... What was the Doctor Sinister?
Bastion.
Yes, Bastion.
But yes, this is the exact story in X-Men 97, where he rips the adamantium out of Wolverine.
Lord have mercy. Kills him. Well, quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote kills him, but, you know, Wolverine can't die.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that one time he did, but then he came back. But and this is the point where even Xavier had enough of him. He was so mad at Magneto for doing that he... He mind wipes Magneto, and unfortunately it's because of that led to the creation of Onslaught. So get this, while Magneto is comatose, the whole events of Onslaught's happening, and Onslaught is completely committing just genocide, completely murdering everything. And of course this led to like the death of the Avengers and many other superheroes except for Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and the X-Men, led to the mutants being, again, public enemy number one.
And aren't both of them Omega-level mutants, right? Magneto and Professor?
So, here's the thing.
Mm.
It was only during the Krakoan era in recent years that Magneto was labeled an Omega-level mutant.
Okay.
Before all of this, everything he's done up to like that time, he was merely an A-class mutant.
Dink.
But nah, they like, nah. He done too much. He has to be Omega level.
I ask because, like, essentially Onslaught is the mind baby of those two. So it's just like, you can imagine the destruction, again, that was caused with that.
Yes, absolutely. So, of course, this was like a point where essentially Magneto had like, fought. He, well, essentially he was in a coma, but then they decided to clone him, and then they put his mind into the clone's body. So this is how Magneto technically got de-aged, because by this point, he's like, it's starting to become a little less realistic that a person from...
I did have that question, yes.
From World War II was still up here running pockets.
Yes, that's 100 plus years old. So with that, is there anything else with the villainy before we transition? Because I wanted to kind of touch on like the mindset of that.
No. It's just, at the end of it, he creates the nation of Genosha, and they just leave him alone for a while.
So with that, like the backslide and the villainy, obvious.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The comic-wise, it's more interesting to have him as a villain and stuff like that, but I think it also shows how fragile it is for someone to be turned when there's such a strong ideology of a Magneto that has been painted in blood. I think of other shows where, this is a completely different character, but in Jessica Jones, when she was trying to change Kilgore, and it was just like, obviously he had his trauma that with it, and he was like doing good. And she was like, yo, you're seeing yourself do good. And then at the end of the day, he was just like, nah. Now, obviously, again, Kilgore is different from Magneto, with different philosophies and different things. But we could see that, just again, as we also touch on what happens to Genosha, and then also, if you've seen X-Men 97, all the different things that have happened, where it's like he has built up the Brotherhood of Mutants that then leads to the New Mutants not trusting him and everything like that. So with Magneto, even, again, you're trying to do good, but once people have that label on you, and then you also have, again, the fragile set where what you said in the trial of Magneto, it's like, you better not make me want to disappoint you because it's not going to go good for you. So it's tough. And I can see how it's so simple for even in the real world where you see people, it's like, let's give reconciliation a chance. And there are so many people that are like, no. And then when that person is like, sees the people see no, a lot of the times it isn't just a simple negotiation or like peaceful treaty, in that it's, again, painted in blood, which it will see.
And I really do appreciate just how, like, again, like, as you said, like, he's such a strong-willed character, but like, again, like it's not really his ideologies that changes. It's just the fact, like, hey, circumstances make it so, like, you won't allow me to be the hero.
Mm-hmm.
So what other choice do I have? And as I said, it's kind of on the X-Men on that one, but we can kind of also see, like, his faults in there, too. Now, unfortunately, we have to get into another big, heavy topic, which is Genosha. As you all know, if you've seen X-Men 97, Genosha is just an island filled with just hundreds, thousands of just different mutants. And a Magneto, he lives there, you know, kind of like helps kind of rule it. And the mutants, they just live there in peace. Unfortunately, peace does not last with them. And they get bombarded by a bunch of Sentinels and killed. Actually, we have the death count at 16 million mutants who die on Genosha. So yeah. And Magneto survives, and it's actually like, it's a terrible event. Like, like, it's a human extinction. It's a genocide.
Absolutely.
Like, it's basically Holocaust round two, if not, or because they're just outright killing them. But it's through this event that Charles Xavier and Magneto finally rekindled their friendship in the tragedy. Like, they just call off their differences and say,
it's too far.
Yeah, it's too far. And unfortunately, it only gets worse with House of M, where in this one, again, Scarlet Witch is slowly going crazy. Actually, not even slowly going crazy. She fully jumped off a cliff at this point. And she ends up creating a reality where in which mutants are at the top and humans are the lesser.
Now, I know it's not completely Magneto, but was this the basis of WandaVision?
Yes, literally. This is, yes, so it's over the exact same issue. Well, yeah.
Like losing her kids and stuff, right?
Well, actually, she loses her kids in WandaVision. This is more like her losing Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then House of M is her losing her kids.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And House of M, the kids, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, like, all heroes, they regain their memories, and they think that it's Magneto who basically told Scarlet Witch to reshape reality, and it turns out it wasn't Magneto. He did not tell her to reshape reality. As a matter of fact, he was contemplating, like, killing Wanda because she was posing to be, like, a danger to reality itself.
Which she was.
Yeah, so he was about to kill her for the greater good, and it's Quicksilver who was the one who told her to reshape reality, to give Magneto exactly what he wants. And when he remembers all that, he is furious at Quicksilver because he probed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him a false reality for something like while he wanted, he didn't want that way because it's not real.
And in House of M, just to see in that reality, is he like a cruel leader dictator?
No.
Okay.
Oh, he's actually like a regular benevolent. He's just like a regular. He's like Obama. I was about to say the other president, but he's just a regular dude. Like he was like the king of the world, but he was just a benevolent ruler.
Which sucks because of how tragic things take a turn once he gets his memories back.
Yep, and because he's enraged, Magneto kills Quicksilver, and then this is when Wanda utters the most infamous three words that she has ever done: "No more mutants," which depowered all but 200 mutants on the planet, and Magneto is one of them. Is one of the depowered.
And all the births stopped, right, as well?
Oh, yeah. There were, like, no mutant births for a long time, too, until one child. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So with this, because of the first two, obviously we're going to get into the Avengers versus X-Men next, but Genosha and leading into House of M almost, how it, parallels to real life, is that sometimes people have to be morally shamed into doing the right thing because they sit back so much. In with the comic version of the Genosha massacre genocide, who was ultimately responsible? Was it just the Sentinels and people, or was it like similar to 97?
It was Cassandra Nova,
mm-hmm.
aka Xavier's twin sister.
Ah, okay. So even with that, you can see, like, again, touching on real life stuff with slavery, people had to be morally shamed for slavery to end. Because, again, like, the Civil War wasn't necessarily about it, but within it, they had to keep morally shaming people in order to do things with that. And then a movie that, and then just a real life event with Selma, a lot of people were like, okay, Jim Crow, that's fine. Segregation, that's fine. That's something that just happens in the South. It is what it is. But then when we see innocent old people, kids getting beaten on a bridge and, you know, the Bloody Sunday massacre, but the Bloody Sunday, now it's like, oh, I'm not a bad person. I need to do something. I can't just sit back. I'm seeing this on my TV screen. And then going into Genosha, where it's just like, and also I'm just going to parallel with it 97, where the question gets asked, Magneto is right. And people feeling like that after watching it, because it's like, yo, they literally did nothing to you. Also, that touches on Attack on Titan, where homegirl is like, yo, what did my mom ever do to you?
Mm-hmm.
No, what did my mom ever do to you? And just like that. So it's like people, again, morally shamed in order to being doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, what do you have to do? Like, are we good enough? Just like the quote I said at the beginning, what must we do
mm-hmm.
to be good? And now I'm pretty sure you're wondering, like, okay, how in the world, if he's depowered, how he's get his powers back? This is like a very weird story with 1.5 million retcons. It's about this mutant named Zorn who's...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Who, like, was a mutant that appeared, like, he appeared very powerful, and then it's revealed Zorn is Magneto. But then it's retconned that Zorn's actually a separate, like an actual mutant who possessed Magneto and then, and in the possession, reactivated his powers. Yeah. It's very convoluted. Like, this is a very weird period for X-Men.
Man,
like in the 2000s.
Comic books are something else, man.
Yeah, because again, it's like, it's around this time that the Civil War happened in Marvel. So, like, things are very weird. Things are very tense. Of course, the X-Men and Magneto were not part of the Civil War event at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were, whoever's on what side would immediately get...
I feel like they would have been on Captain America's side. A lot of them.
Yeah. And that would have tipped too much into mm-hmm. Cap's favor.
Yes.
But yeah, so now it's around this time that we slowly start getting into his redemption with the Avengers versus X-Men story.
Mm.
Where in which in this story, it essentially the Phoenix Force comes back and they're trying to figure out like, okay, what to do with it. X-Men wants to like handle it their way, the Avengers want to handle it their way. And they butt heads over it. And I saw, like, hey, you had texted me. He was like, wait, Iron Man fights Magneto in space? Yes.
That blew my mind.
Yes, he does. Because of the fact that, like, hey, this girl, Hope Summers, who is the first mutant child born after the House of M, and she's, like, essentially stated to be the next host of the Phoenix Force. And
is this, like, the child of Scott, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she gets adopted by them.
Okay.
Because I think, like, the actual parents end up dying. But, yeah, no, she gets adopted by them. Well, specifically by Cable in the future. Yeah, so we get more time travel shenanigans.
Man, X-Men.
X-Men lore, everybody. You get everything. Time travel. Alternate futures. Dark apocalyptic futures. Everything in between. But essentially, like, at this point, so Magneto, he's teaming up with the X-Men to take down the Avengers, but then comes the point, the key point, where Cyclops becomes the Phoenix and goes completely insane, and Magneto ends up helping in the forces to try to stop Cyclops, but not before Cyclops snaps Xavier's neck and kills him. And this is where Xavier remains dead until basically the Krakoan era. So, it's after this point that Magneto basically, like, this is where he has his own miniseries where he fights for mutant kind. And is when, like, the other secret wars happen.
Mm-hmm.
He fights in Axis and whatnot. And basically a whole bunch of events back to back happens.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, we do need to talk about the Krakoan era.
Yes.
Where, in which, thanks to Moira McTaggart being a mutant who can reincarnate or basically restart time each time she dies. And, yeah, essentially, like, time resets to when she's born.
Oh, my God.
So she, like, and she's fully conscious and aware each time. Mm-hmm. So after a bunch of various attempts, in fact, one of them is just the regular X-Men timeline that we've been talking about throughout this entire time. And then eventually in the current age, or the current age, like a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
essentially Magneto, Moira and Charles end up going to Magneto very early. And they're like, hey, we need to just have all mutants come together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all mutants. It doesn't matter if we were friends or foes. We need to unite as one into the sovereign nation of Krakoa. And Magneto's on board, and he sees, like, how Charles is basically, because he read Moira's mind and saw, like, the different timelines and saw how his dream basically almost always ends in death and destruction for the mutants. He's like, screw it.
So is Charles resurrected now?
Oh, yes, because again, like, Moira reset. Yeah, she had got reset back to the beginning. And essentially, we're talking to everything from when she first meets Charles, when they first meet Magneto. Unfortunately, Magneto's story does not change until he meets Charles.
Okay.
And this time, they establish the nation of Krakoa, and he's firmly a good guy, but he is a good guy with a hardened edge because he's like, hey, I didn't seem too much. And it's also kind of implied that the regular history of the Marvel Universe did still happen.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they all came together and just said, yeah, let bygones be bygones.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, now Magneto sits on the Quiet Council with a total of 12 various mutants so they can discuss Krakoan politics. Krakoa is becoming one of the largest nations in the world. Of course, humanity did not want to go for that at all. But then came a point where they're like, hey, Magneto literally goes like, hey, listen, humans, times have changed while you were asleep. Wake up. You have new gods now. You're like, and he did this in Jerusalem.
Jeez, that's smaller.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, he was full on it, and he was wearing the all-white drip.
And I was just going to say, and the difference between the Krakoan Island versus Genosha is that Krakoa is a living island, right?
Yeah, Krakoa is a living island. And also, another difference is that every single Omega level mutant that's not named Franklin Richards is on that island. And also another big difference is the resurrection protocols, where they have five mutants where they can work together in tandem to resurrect any mutant from the dead.
So this is what I was, the trial of Magneto that I ended up looking at when I looked at it, and how it kind of touched on the council and then also Wanda's redemption as well.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. So with that story, it's just like how, yeah, Wanda was dead, but you're starting to see, because again, by this point, like, it's been retconned that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are not his kids.
Mm-hmm.
But Magneto still treats them as if they were his kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was just the dad that stepped up.
Indeed.
He was the dad that stepped up. And essentially, it was just like how he was going to take the blame for her death. But eventually the truth, well, not even the truth comes out because the whole events of it, essentially you learn what happened to her, and it was all the work by Scarlet Witch. She kills herself so that way she can create a room for any dead mutant to be able to come back, because the resurrection protocols only works so long as Xavier has a mental copy / backup in his cerebro of that mutant. So what happens if a mutant died before he made that backup? Well, that's what Wanda created to essentially ensure that didn't happen.
And essentially, so the comic book characters, comic book writers can kill whoever they want and bring them back.
Yep, and also so she can, and also in terms of actual writing, like, so that way she can atone for the whole
no more mutants.
The whole no more mutants thing. But of course things didn't last long, to where like he ends up dying out in space, and he couldn't be resurrected for a while. But eventually, like, this is the last story we're gonna tell. It's just how he does. Where essentially he resurrects himself through goes through various trials in the afterlife. Basically it's help from Storm, Storm is like his number two. Because she
Storm.
Black Queen. She's Storm. She Queen. All right. She Queen out here. She knows what's up.
Yes.
And Magneto appreciates that about her.
Mm-hmm.
So they locked in. Not romantically, but they locked in terms of like co-leadership.
Oh, romantically? When we touch on adaptions, we gotta touch on that.
Boy. Boy.
He was dirty macking.
Sir. So essentially she helps him through the afterlife. He comes back and the whole thing's like, okay. He goes through his different identities. Like, am I Eric Lyncher, the terrorist with the red helmet? He had like Max Eisenhart, the good man with the white helmet, and then Magneto with the black helmet, I think, who like does whatever it takes. And then he settles on like, nah, I am all of these in one. But he's still like iconography, like has the red helmet, and he comes back to life, immediately kills a bunch of sentinels, like human sentinels, like and a bunch of humans, like immediate murder. But it's justified because they were trying to stop his resurrection, and as soon as he got resurrected, they tried to kill him again. So of course the Krakoan era ends. We ain't got time enough to talk about that. And as of right now, Charles Xavier's in jail for all the war crimes he committed during the Krakoan era. Again, we're not gonna be able to talk about that. He committed a bunch of heinous acts. Not as bad as what Beast does. Yes, I needed to go in, get my shot out at Beast because he deserves it. But in any case, Charles Xavier's in jail, which leaves, and of course the mutants, like Krakoa is gone, but of course you still have to have the X-Men.
So I just want to ask, what happened to Krakoa quickly? Just like
in one sentence. Explosion.
Okay.
Orbital bombardment. And also just a bunch of just shenanigans. It's a lot. It's a lot to get into. But
okay.
That's the best way I can say it without going too deep. But yeah. As of right now, you still have like just the mutants and the X-Men, but this time it's led by Magneto.
So he's back to the side of quote unquote good.
Now, he's currently good and he's leading the X-Men.
Nice.
And that's all we got for Magneto for today.
Yes, so mostly we cover the comics. Obviously, there's multiple adaptions of him. We have the Ultimate Universe Magneto. I don't know how evil versus good he is in the Ultimate Universe.
He is all right, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about these adaptations because you need to talk about it. Okay, this version of Magneto, he takes the version of Magneto who's a villain. Mm-hmm. It amplifies that by times 10 with like zero redeeming qualities.
Oof.
To the point where he manages to steal Mjolnir from Thor.
Whoa.
and uses his powers to reverse the magnetic poles on the Earth itself, causing the ultimatum event, which led to a flood that flooded all of New York, killing a bunch of heroes. He snaps Xavier's neck. He manages to use Cyclops, repulsor beams and aims it at Wolverine, killing him.
Dang.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of people die because of Magneto. And this is all because Scarlet Witch gets killed.
Mm.
And he just says, screw everybody. Screw the mutants. Screw all of humanity. Screw everybody. So, yeah. Completely irredeemable. He did because Cyclops blew his brains out.
Makes sense.
Yes. Now, X-Men, the animated series from the 90s. Amazing stuff. Yes. Of course, this is Magneto. You all know him. Know and love from the 90s, so particularly his villain era.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men 97 shows more of his redemption, his backslide, and even his redemption from there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the X-Men movies with Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender. This is the version that most people think of when they think of Magneto.
Yes.
What would you say about their performance as Max?
It's really interesting because they're asked to play two different versions of the character. When we see the Ian McKellen version, the one that we're probably more familiar with growing up, just when we were born, it's almost similar because in the first one, he's, trying to recruit. He has the Brotherhood of Mutants. Let's eliminate the, he's trying to, accumulate as many powerful mutants. Let's kind of go up against humanity. Second movie, they team up with the X-Men in that one. And then third one,
Stryker.
Well, yes, exactly. I was going to ask about Stryker because him being a televangelist, and did they just adopt him as another thing into Wolverine's storyline as well?
Oh yeah. Cause he was not at all, part of Wolverine storyline at all.
But yes, just going back to your question, with the Ian McKellen version, it's kind of refined, an old man who is, he's seen it, he's lived it all, he's, a thousand lives, as they say. And it's really an ideology thing. And you can see it at that point, especially with him and Patrick Stewart going back and forth. Incredible actors. And then with the Michael Fassbender, we see him post, post getting out of that trauma, how he's getting manipulated in the first movie and how he was used as a weapon. And then also, obviously, Apocalypse, people don't like, but again, being used as a weapon, Dark Phoenix, which people really didn't like, but kind of just how he's in the middle of that anger. And this is before, Brotherhood of Mutants and stuff, and how he's processing. And then you have even the storyline, it's slightly changed a lot, but the Days of Future Past storyline, where it was used with what's her name? Mystique was used instead of different characters and stuff like that. But how you can again see now in the future, they're like, hey, we again have to work together against the Sentinels. We have to stop this. But his past self is still like, yo, let's take everybody out. Oh, let me, take the metal out of the mutants the Sentinels and try to use that against them and stuff like that. So I think it's two very solid portrayals of a character that is just extremely complex that we saw.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think it does lend itself well to the fact that you have two actors in different age brackets basically playing the two different versions of the same character. So you can see okay, it's feasible that the Michael Fassbender version will over time develop into the Ian McKellen version.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Yeah, because with the Michael Fassbender, he's much angrier as a character, whereas with Ian McKellen, he has that same anger, but it's kind of just I'm kind of done with this. Exactly. I'm done with this. It is what it is. You're not really about to talk me off this ledge type deal.
Yep. Folks and refined.
So we now ask the question, is Magneto right?
Ooh. Honestly, there are many times where throughout his various speeches, seeing who the core of his message, and many times I want to say yes, because of the fact that, yeah, we see hey, humans are prone to being violent, being bigoted, being very just anti anything. I mean, if you look at Twitter alone, you'll basically learn Magneto's right just off 5 minutes on Twitter. But essentially, like, I see, like, hey, Magneto's right in the sense, like, okay, one, you need to have pride in yourself. You need to have pride in who you are. And, like, you, like, hey, again, like, nobody's gonna stand up for you unless you're willing to do it yourself. And yes, people are absolutely despicable people. But it's like, okay,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Can't just lump everybody into that group. Even if, let's say, 70% of the people are like bigoted racist scum, you still have that 30.
Yeah, it's difficult because seeing his backstory, you understand it. I know sometimes we can get into a lot of villains' backstories, and it's like, yo, how do you go from here to here? Because like with My Hero Academia, the reason Shigaraki is bad is because his dad has mommy issues, so now he has daddy issues. So let's destroy Japan. But you know, with Eric and him being more complex than that, I would definitely say is that it also kind of relates to Attack on Titan, where it's like a lot of times with conflict that we see in the world with, let's just keep it as simple as two sides. A lot of people are like, the only way for us to have peace is for one side to be completely eliminated. And as scary as that has happened throughout history.
Yep.
And we can see it happening today if we're being honest, where it's just like, the only way to have peace is for you not to exist or to be assimilated into our group. But even if you're assimilated into our group, you're going to be a subcategory of our group to the point of like you're just going to be like slaves, subjects, or, you know, nothing beings to us. And that's scary. And that's what Magneto witnessed his entire life, from Jews to mutants. And I think what he wants is right in terms of we deserve to exist, in terms of we being the mutants. Some the times that he goes about it in certain ways obviously can be wrong. It's kind of like asking, are you a Jaegerist? And it's like, no, I don't want 80% of the population to be decimated. So I overall agree. So with that, we can even touch on his relatability.
Oh yes, because again, like just the whole premise of the X-Men alone, just as a black man, makes it relatable almost immediately. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like I've seen myself on both sides. Right now I'm on Team Magneto's side of the side of the pond. But it's like, yeah, it's like, hey, both sides have great points. And it's just a matter of like your methods in going about trying to do things now. And it's partially why I like Magneto now, because like he still has the same ideology that he has before, but he's trying to do it Xavier's way. But he still has like his edge to it. Like, hey, if people gotta die, they just have to die. Like I am not going to like chance it.
He's an arrow in motion, essentially.
Oh, dang, that's good. That's good. Put it on t-shirt. But yeah, so he's very relatable because, like, again, like, people have experienced tragedy. People have experienced, like, some form of racial or even gender-based like discrimination. And I can think of like a lot of people who think like, if only I had someone like Magneto to like stand up for what is right.
Yes. And again, that's kind of, yeah, what we touched on a bit earlier, where him being A-level slash now being Omega, he's one of the few people that have the ability to do something about it. And what I really loved is in the third one, the third X-Men movie, I know people are kind of like iffy on that one, but where it's like he's talking about men and their guns. And again, his entire life, he's seen men use guns to kill people, to enslave people, to keep them down, to eliminate and control others. And I think that's why people can relate with Magneto in a sense with that. And again, what you're talking about with like standing up for yourself, it's so tough when you're going up against the philosophy of Xavier, where he's the turn the other cheek. And with that, you know, philosophy, a lot of it can be, okay, you turn the other cheek. So then they slap the other cheek. And then they see, since you won't defend yourself, they're going to slap the cheeks of your children and then their children and then loved ones. And it just keeps going and going and going until someone has to do something. So I think that's just where it is hard, because it's like, then what do you do? And the answer to that is so different. So even leading into the popularity, I think because he's relatable, that leads to him being popular. And depending on what list you look at, he's usually either one or two in terms of top villains, with it being Joker as the other in terms of comic books, purely comic book characters.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely like one of the top villain. He's definitely like, he's been called, you know, X-Men's most iconic villain.
Without question.
Oh, X-Men. Yeah, 100%. It's like,
easily.
Yeah, you think X-Men, you think Magneto.
Yes.
Like, in fact, like, if you think about, like, in 2023, he was ranked 9th in, like, the 10 most popular Marvel characters. Keyword, characters. Both heroes and villains, and he made it to the top 10, which is a strong testament, because Marvel got a bag.
And what year was that again?
2023.
And think about that. That is with 15 years of other Marvel characters being added in, because obviously from whatever point post-2008, there was not a lot of... There was some Magneto, but not to the level of MCU Magneto.
Yeah.
Being there, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think, like, hey, by this time, like, really, it's the Krakoan era that pretty much carried Magneto. Because, like, the movies really didn't have... There really wasn't anything Magneto related in the movie, so
nope.
So really, like, if you're judging based off everything else, like, it's just like off his character alone, mm-hmm. making it top 10.
Crazy.
In fact, even the year prior, he was 5th in the top. He was ranked 5th in the best supervillains of Marvel.
Nice. All right, so with that, I think we'll touch on his philosophy. Any other thing that you have to add on our boy Magneto?
I mean, hey, Magneto, right? I'm Team Magneto. He is so complicated as a character, and I just love the fact, like, you can, like, throughout the years, throughout the decades, you can see, like, him, like, his slow turn to good. Like, you see his thought process, you see him change over time,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, his core philosophy doesn't change.
Indeed. All right, so with that, wrapping up our discussion on Magneto, now let's get into a very brief what's hot. So Meech, what you got?
All right, anime. Gotcha, Yakuta. Watch it. My Hero Academia. There's only 4 episodes left. Go ahead, finish it out. One Piece, still going until like the beginning of next year. So you all will have time to catch up on all 1,100 episodes. All right, comic book wise, the Eddie Brock Carnage series has officially ended. But the new Avengers hasn't yet, so he's still in there.
You sound so unenthusiastic about that.
The Venom series, it's still going. And just debuted Spider-Man as Venom.
What?
Or specifically, the MJ Venom in the colors of Spider-Man. And it's a real stupid reason why.
Oh, God.
Yep. It's a stupid reason why. I do not care anymore.
You don't want to share.
The reason why is because it's like, oh, yeah, Venom is public enemy number one. Well, because of the anti-symbiote initiative. Yes, it's starting to become X-Men where the where the symbiotes are now the public enemy. And in order to continue their superheroing and save people's lives without getting arrested, they turn, MJ decides, hey, why don't we become a hero or transform into a hero? So they became Spider-Man.
Keep going.
Amazing Spider-Man. He's still in space right now, actually doing a lot better. He ain't no simp right now.
That's good.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Unfortunately, it's ending, but I really hope it goes out on a high note.
It was superior, right?
Yes. The last issue, it got very superior out this mug, so I needed to end on the right note. Let's just say there's at least three spiders running around. It ain't superior as in one body getting taken. It's more superior as in you have a third spider character running around these mugs. And I really just want it to be Ultimate Spider-Man to continue. I'm not going to lie. Miles Morales, let's go. Let's go. He's still cooking. He's still cooking right now. Fortunately, like one of his biggest enemies just came back. We're starting to see the trauma of that again. Pray for him. He'll need it. The Absolute Universe, absolutely cooked because we got more details about Absolute Joker. I see you shaking your hand.
Oh my God.
You need to know. So I don't know if you saw like the Absolute Joker design, but it still had like those red lines.
Yes.
That kind of looks like it's a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's another mouth with even more teeth.
Oh my God.
So picture this, people. You have like your regular face and you still have like your mouth full of just rows and rows of teeth, right? But then you have a mouth under your mouth that has even more teeth.
Hey, Batman, wrap it up. Bruce, the same for you.
Bruce, just please, just leave, gang. Just leave, gang. Just leave. And then Spawn, just be spawning. All right, games. All right, moving on. Games. All right, Black Ops 7, out. People are complaining about the campaign mode.
Oh, surprise, surprise. You know, dream world.
Yeah. Also, Rainbow Six Siege X. And then also the Destiny Star Wars has officially dropped, and I'm here for it. And then also Dispatch finally released its last set of episodes, so you can finally see if you chose right with Invisigal or Blonde Blazer. Just know I was right. I ain't gonna say who. That's for y'all to find out. And then finally, Marvel Rivals dropped a trailer for Gambit, and it looks like he's gonna be a support class. Great, we need more of those. All right, TV, Star Wars Visions, awesome. Stranger Things is finally coming out.
Next week.
Finally, the first part.
I hope people have fun with their families because that's when it drops on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
That's cool.
And it also saw like a little teaser trailer for Wonder Man.
Yes.
Which, woo. All right, now movies. Kill Bill coming back in the theaters, the whole bloody affair, all 4.5 hours of both movies together. Make sure you go with a loved one. Just know y'all have to clear your schedule.
It depends on if your loved one likes that stuff, because
they might not. Yeah, you might be cooked. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. And also FNAF 2 is coming out soon. And then also see a trailer that just came out for Michael. Just know I will be in the theater. Just know I'm actually going to put this warning out right now for all you peoples. All right. All right. This is for true Michael Jackson fans. If you believed anything, allegations against them, don't go to this movie. If you can't recite the songs word for word, bar for bar, don't come to this movie. If you if you're not gonna be out here dancing and choreographing, don't come to this movie. If you haven't sweated blood and tears while playing Michael Jackson The Experience trying to get perfect, don't come to this movie. Mitch, if you're a screaming child, do not come to this movie.
Mitch, I have a question for you. What is the last good music biopic?
Wait, I'm trying to think. What was the most recent one that came out? The Whitney Houston one?
I don't think so. They're very copy and paste. That's all I'm saying. Because I know, like, the whatchamacallit one just came out. The Bruce Springsteen one just came out, like, a month ago or something like that.
Crazy. But all I know is I will be there. And also, I think one of my favorite ones is still Straight Outta Compton.
That's fair. It's just, it's biopics are so watered down for who the people were. Like, it's hard to encapsulate someone's entire life into 2 hours.
Well, from what I hear, like, this movie only covers Michael's life up until the 80s.
Mm. Okay. And that's probably smart.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to need that second
I see
part.
We were avoiding real life, but okay.
Yeah, and also it's possible that, like, hey, this movie does well, which it will. I will make sure it happens. Then the execs will have no choice but to do a sequel covering the latter half and of then, his life. Which,
but not before the execs create a Prince biopic.
Fight me. I dare y'all to try.
You know what I'm... I know we're about to go over, but you know what I... A biopic that would be interesting, but they probably won't do it until this person expires, is a Kanye West biopic.
That
would actually go crazy, but it would be extremely hard to do considering.
You would need... No. It can't be a biopic movie. It has to be like a miniseries.
Yeah, I agree. It would have to, but... Ain't no way he about to let that happen.
Well, let's wait until Kanye go meets his idol.
That's wild. Keep going.
Dang. Yeah, but that was the last thing I had.
All right. So,
get off on that note.
Briefly, we have It, Welcome to Derry, which is the ultimate forget those kids description. Next, as Wicked, that comes out this week. As people are listening, we have Zootopia 2 coming out next week. And The Running Man is something that I really enjoyed when I went to the theaters to see it. So again, next week, we will be covering things that we are ungrateful for in nerddom. And then we are going to proceed from there, I think. The next episode is then the Five Nights at Freddy's review. So, again, buy the merch. We both need to pay for weddings. So, with that, let's get into the plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So, Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads. Blur City22, like, comment, subscribe. You already know what to do. Discord, LinkedIn, and Instagram. You already know what to do. Go ahead, click it. We also have our YouTube and Patreon, Blur City Pod. Please donate some chatter because, again, we have weddings to pay for, and you get exclusive episodes in return. Because we ain't gonna take your money and leave you empty-handed. Thank you.
We're not the government.
No, we're not the government, and we're not any groomzillas. And then also we have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com. Give your thoughts on Magneto. If you had episode suggestions, let us know. Hey, if you want to send us stuff about like what you're ungrateful for, we'll read them out in the episode, in our Thanksgiving episode. And then also we have our, for me, the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. How long we got that left? What you got?
For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_Dash. That is METRI_DASH. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my novel, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So with that, we will leave you with some important words of encouragement.
All right. So the words of encouragement I have for you all today is to not let anyone walk all over you. And don't let anybody look down on you just because of your appearance, your circumstance, or just who you are. Instead, hey, fight back against the system. Go and do what you have to. And hashtag Magneto was right.
For my words of encouragement, all I'll say again is view people as people. We put these labels on people just to kind of separate us, but at the end of the day, sometimes we're much more alike than we actually think. So with that, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.